Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm killing you.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night.
No, it's not Wednesday.
We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig. Gonna pay in the car. Gonna get a car.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you fast forward to the future and you work your way, you know, back to the future is, you know, the way it usually works out. Joining us now are Aaron McIntosh and John Granger, a couple of Argo lifers, and I wanted to get them on first, you know, just like, you know, old time week, whatever. Well, I'll start by making a couple of comments, and the thing that gets me is, they did a great job, the Red Blacks did. Put it this way. Two quarterbacks, one older, one younger, three defensive linemen, one running back, three wide receivers, four O-linemen, three fullbacks, three linebackers, one offensive center, one that's kind of injury-prone from Hamilton, one safety, two defensive ends, and I can't even make up my own writing here. One something else. So, you know, they went for the typical positions that I think are the hardcore, you know, the trenches is where a lot of people say the game is won. And it appears possibly that that's the way the Ottawa Red Blacks went. But before I continue, gosh, I forgot. Today's show 129. We rolled right past 100. And this is show 129. And not only that, it's December 16th. I always forget to mention the date so that you're aware that you're actually listening to the show live. I got to tell you, my heart is semi-broken. During the season, I became aware that Joe Appel was family. My first cousin married Joe's uncle. So in essence, Joe Appel is like a nephew removed seven times. And every time I look at him, I don't think nephew. I think something like, you know, I don't even know what to say. I could think of that. So he goes, Jason Pottinger goes, and a lot of the charitable work that the Argo Lifers have done along with the Argos included both of those men and their families, especially Pottinger's, mom and dad, Paul and Annette. I've kind of become friends I don't want to be presumptuous. So, you know, I've become someone that Annette, his mother, pays attention to from time to time. So, and we, you know, sit together, we go to games and we go to other functions and we see each other and we're very glad to be part of the same organization. That Jason Pottinger was picked up as a linebacker. And what I can say is this, there is no disappointment there is a future waiting for both Joe Appel and Jason Pottinger in Ottawa, and a welcome, and I dare say a welcome probably bigger than any welcome they got here in Toronto. And that has nothing to do with Ottawa being a better football community or Toronto not being a good enough football community. It has to do with fresh, new anticipation. I maintain that the wonderful experience that they're going to have is they are going to be like the 83 Argos that won that first Grey Cup after so long. Not because they won a Grey Cup, but everybody's going to remember those are the first players that are on that team. So, first of all, congratulations to all the players who were drafted and picked up by the Ottawa Red Blacks. That's right, Ottawa Red Blacks. And if you've been on this program back at the ones and twos and the minus ones and minus two, minus three, minus four, we've done more than 129 shows. There are a few shows that have, for totally selfish reasons, I guessed, that I just felt that, you know, normally we're horrible, but new extremes of horrible, and John Granger can attest to that. Comments such as, because getting used to the technical side of Blog Talk Radio was a bit of a dance. And we had the odd night where it was, John, are you there? John, are you there? John, are you there? John, I mean it seriously, are you there? And it continues. Let's try another name. Aaron, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, good. And we'll try another name. That's John laughing. And yeah. Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you go. See, because I know Mike's number. And, you know, Mike, don't drum up any big bills, because trust me, John was like, he's invested in the thousands in this program because he calls in. Anyone who is calling and it costs long distance to them, please feel free to text me on Facebook. And quite frankly, let's keep some money out of the phone companies, because that's not what I'm here about. The program here is to give you all a chance to talk. So now I've done my big thing, and I've had a long conversation now. So now that we've got five of us in the room right now, and I'll start with John.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm
know
here.
And oh, I know you're here too, but I wasn't going to acknowledge you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, good evening, Chris and gentlemen
okay.
in the room.
We'll do,
and Frank,
we'll do an inventory. Okay, with us tonight is John Granger. And just give me a quick, let's start hard. And it's hard to boil down everything that happened today into a couple of words. But, John, give me a couple of words, one or two, that and then say hello to the crowd, that for a starter, that you would use after this draft
okay,
day.
Okay, well, hello to the crowd, and how ironic it is that you speak about technical difficulties, because you hung up on me, and I'm calling you back, and you're going to have to call. I'm going to have
say,
to hang up on
what?
You so I don't.
I didn't
yeah,
hang up
I don't,
on
I have,
you.
I have to hang up on you right now so you, I don't run up another bill like you were just
yeah,
mentioning
okay,
how
okay.
much I spent.
Well, I tell you what, if you talk as long as I asked you to, it won't cost you too much.
Either way, 2 hours listening is still a high bill.
I promise.
Hello, gentlemen,
I will call you back.
And tell you what, you guys have the round table, and when Frank gets me back, I'll take the end, and
I'll
talk
right,
to you
I'll
in
get you
few
right
seconds,
back,
all right?
Two words, John. Right. Two words today. Okay. Give me two words to start, to prime the...
Two words, I got to say. Deep sorrow, as far as the Argo fans go. And I'll be back.
And that's because of the veterans that are gone. Okay. Aaron?
Well, I could actually say that I followed with some intensity today, as you may have seen on your site. I actually scheduled my meetings around the draft times when they would indicate that they were back at they'll be back at 12:35. I canceled my 12 o'clock meeting. When they're back at 2:15, I canceled my 2 to 2:30 time slot. I was disappointed in terms of seeing a couple in particular, to see Posse go and to see Joe Appel go. Didn't really know Williams too much, or I knew a little bit about him, but I didn't see him at a lot of the events. That being said, I think Ottawa was smart today. Looking down the line, I know there's a lot of chat about Glenn, and is he really going to be the face of the franchise? He's not. Let's be quite honest. I think they're going to wait for free agency, and they're going to see what else they can pick up in the meantime. He's going to be competing like everybody else, like DeMarco and whomever, including Caleros. He's not out yet. So I think they were smart. I was expecting them to do a little bit more on the offense, go a little bit out there with a different wide receiver maybe. I was even looking, you know, is a Mike Bradwell up on the line? Don't know.
Or the guys in Calgary.
Yeah, they didn't touch Calgary. They didn't touch Calgary.
Everybody went to Winnipeg, wide receiver.
Yeah, Widewell, he decimated Winnipeg's front end as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, they got the three from every team. I think we seem to bled off a little bit, but I think that's also because we have a familiarity with those names as much as others. So other teams may feel the same, but being an Argo lifer, we have a familiarity with those names. We see them. We share beer with them. You know, we break bread with them after the games. And
go to charitable events with them.
Exactly. So it's a shame to see them go. I do know that we have a whole roster of other players that will fill up, will step up and fill that community gap. Chris Van Zyl, just one to name, you know, 45 plus. We have character in the organization, as do all the others, and we'll find them as soon as the schedule comes out and the Argos are in Ottawa. I'll be there.
There you go.
So I'm looking forward to seeing it. So I'll let everyone else talk.
I can't wait for the schedule to come out, to be honest with you. Okay, so, John, you're back.
Yes.
Since you were on a short leash, go ahead.
Yes.
Be my guest
here.
Hi
again, gentlemen. And Aaron, I heard...
Just a couple of minutes, a couple of introductory minutes on the draft, and, you know, I was joking a couple of words, but...
I picked it up, and I heard what Aaron said, and very well said as far as... what I feel, I feel mutual as to what Aaron was saying. These guys were a deep part of the community fan base, and for that mostly, you know, besides, you know, players we have to get used to as fans. They come and go, and hopefully they stay longer than shorter time duration. But, you know, these two guys in particular, Frank and Aaron, you know, you guys can contest to this, is that we saw these guys just about at every gathering, charity event or community.
Every time the Argos were asked to do something, both Pottinger and Appel showed up, and Bradwell for that matter, and their family to a degree, especially Pottinger's. Mom and Dad were fixtures at all the events.
Awesome.
Right? And so, you know, but I did speak, and I hope she doesn't mind. I spoke to Annette. I spoke to his mom. And these aren't tales out of school. It's a positive conversation here we're having. So, you know, Jason spoke to the GM. The GM spoke to Jason. And everything looks good. Jason is extremely happy with this opportunity. While I say that, I also will not presume to suggest that he's not unhappy to be leaving the Argos and the guys that he has grown to love and appreciate and work hard with and, you know, fight in the trenches with and the fans here in Toronto. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I also don't want to take any away either. So what I will say is this, is knowing Jason, he's very happy to be going there, but he will not forget where he came from. And I'm happy for him. I said this, John, before
from BC.
What was that?
He came from BC.
Yeah originally.
Appel.
Yeah. No,
Joe
no.
Appel,
sorry. Yeah, Joe Appel.
Sorry,
Jason didn't mean to take you out of the role. No, it's fine. It's fine. No, Jason was in BC as well, John.
No, I thought
he went from McMaster. Jason, I think, went to McMaster, and then he ended up in BC, and then he came to Toronto. Isn't that what happened, Christopher?
He was one of our linebackers.
Yeah, good. And you know, so we've grown to love him here, and I hope the folks out there don't mind. I actually called Aaron. I know Aaron wanted to talk on the show, and Aaron's a real busy guy, and he doesn't get much opportunity to have input in something that he'd like to have input. And I just wanted to make sure that You know, the people that started this program are the Argo Lifers. That's where this all started, and I'll never forget that. That's where it comes from. But we all agree that this is about the CFL, so we'll move on to BC. And now, you guys didn't do too bad, I don't think. Would that be a – well, in your own words, Christopher, how did you guys fare, you know, in the red-black rating of your team?
Well, the way that I would put this is we lost DeMarco.
Yep.
Our quarterback situation is now very thin. It's definitely lean back there, Joey Elliott and Buck Pierce. So Wally's going to have to do something. But, I always have faith in him in finding QBs. He's done a masterful job over the years to find the proper kids out there.
Agreed.
So the by them taking a QB allowed us to protect two extra non-imports. And I think that just put us – or the good guys further down the list for Ottawa to be taking. So we were allowed to protect a couple extra guys. Who we lost after DeMarco, I don't think is really going to make any difference to us. I think we fared the best. I'm sure everybody out there knew DeMarco was going to go, but nobody, everybody want to put a name on everybody else. But, I mean, I had no doubt he was the one that was going to get picked. So overall, we didn't lose anybody but Thomas.
They really did. You really did do well, didn't you? By virtue of that pick.
Yeah. I think we fared the best.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
And I have to make a correction, guys. Guys, I have to make a correction on Jason Pottinger. He's a Whitby boy, Ontario boy. And,
yes.
Somebody was saying BC boy. That's Joel Powell.
No. What he meant was, John, what he meant was...
He went to
we're
BC,
all in the,
yes.
He went from Whitby to McMaster, from McMaster to... BC,
Alliance.
And then he came back to Toronto. Yes,
okay.
Thank you. Christopher is making it clearer. He was with the Lions for a short time.
And Christopher's a happy boy.
He came
boy
into
today.
The league in the Lions.
Yeah, Chris, absolutely. You're a happy boy. You should be, because you got to waste, like, easy on this one. I mean, seriously, I think BC came out the best out of
John,
the
I think DeMarco's a loss. You know, he is, he's a quarterback with, well, you know,
DeMarco,
John, you have to remember, he's
because
young.
He's not a free agent. Okay, he was picked because he's not a free agent. I think if Joel Pell, listen, guys, I thought about this a little bit, and I don't know if you guys can disagree with me on this, but if you did
don't
a contract
forget, we haven't
last
gone
year,
to Mike's first comments yet, John.
And I will, but just think about this, Mike. Every guy who signed the contract last year knew the draft was coming up this year. If you want to guarantee that he did not leave the city that he's playing in at that moment, he could have signed for 1 year. He would have been a free agent. Ottawa wouldn't have touched him, and he could have resigned with the team he wants. That's not the situation. Some guys went for the money up front. Well, Joel Pell, I guess, did that because he resigned last year. He could have done a 1 year and done what everybody else is doing right now with the management. So just saying. This should be crying.
No one should be crying. This is a business. There's nothing personal here.
Well, there were some guys
crying
in BC. Weren't there some guys in BC crying, saying that, well, not crying, but complaining that if they pick me, I'm going to retire or something like that?
One guy. One old guy.
One guy.
And bottle cap.
That was Dean Valley.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Hang on, Frank. Dean Valley has a business in Vancouver right now that takes more of his time than the football does, so there's absolutely no way that he was going to leave the city. And I think it was really a poor sportsmanship for him to speak up like that and say that. And I took him to task on it, and I said, you know what, you just made the draft unfair.
Yeah, was he taking guidance from Khalif Mitchell?
Same thing. On that subject, I agree with you 100%. There's no problem with him privately saying, look, guys, I'm way too vested here in BC. I'm just going to tell you that if you pick me, I'm going to retire. You know, he didn't have to do it publicly.
No, I disagree, Frank. He should just keep his bloody mouth shut, because what he did was he gave BC Lions an extra protection.
Yes.
That the other
teams
did not have the availability
to. You're
so
right.
That's cheating.
No, I get how you know, one thing I've learned about you, Christopher, is that you like the straight and narrow, and you don't like, you're not one of those guys that uses those bumpers when he plays bowling. right? You want to go down the laneway free and clear, straight and, you know, narrow and honest.
And
right?
Hard.
And I appreciate that.
So
I totally respect that. I respect it wholeheartedly. I truly do. But, you know, at the end of the day, if the guy's not going to get drafted or refuse to be drafted, he's doing Ottawa a favor as well. He's doing them a bit of a solid, too, by saying, you know what, guys, if you draft me, this isn't about me trying to help BC, and I don't think it was him trying to help BC. I think more or less he was basically saying, guys, I'm contemplating coming back, but only with BC. Yeah, you're right. It's very selfish and very helpful to BC. But, you know, what a worst-case scenario could develop if Ottawa drafts him, and they don't know that this guy ain't going to come to their team. You know, so, you know,
right.
It's a tough situation.
Next time we have an expansion – hang on, Frank. Next time we have an expansion draft, half the team can say, well, don't draft me. I'm going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, all the older linemen that are in there and everything else, they're very – look at Pottinger. Very round.
You know what? You're right. Did I not make myself clear enough? You're 100% right. Nothing should be said. I have to say, and if I didn't say it before, I'm going to say it at this time. Christopher, you're 100% right, and I thought I made that clear when I said you like the straight and narrow, because I like the straight and narrow too. And the honest thing to do there would have been for him to shut up and not say a word.
Correct.
You're right. It's 100% right, because now you open the window for guys who are insincerely saying that very thing and making that statement, and that's not fair, and you're right.
Correct.
You're 100% right. We've got another caller in. Mike, before we go to the other caller, I think Manasseh is with us. I'm not 100% sure, but because sometimes these numbers, they move around on me. But I do know Mike's number because he calls with a landline. So, Mike, please. And I'll call you Michael in honor of Christopher.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, Mike.
Good,
how you
my
doing?
Man.
I'm doing all right, man. As far as the draft go today, I like it, man. I called it first time. You know, Kevin Glenn going to Ottawa.
You did.
You know, I already knew it was going to happen. First player taken.
Now, it's illegal for us to pass any money, but needless to say, Mike will be coming to Toronto for free next year.
you got to have that veteran quarterback to lead your squad. I'm not saying that he's just going to be penciled in as the starter, but, you know, you're going to look for free agency to come in, free agent quarterback to come in, and, you know, they all going to compete, DeMarco, Glenn, and whoever else they bring in.
While you raise the name DeMarco, was he the best second option available, in your opinion, that they could have taken? Me either.
Not to me.
Me either. Mm-mm. Why do you think they took DeMarco instead of, like, Calgary, you know, their passing game is intact after the draft. They literally, their passing game hardly got touched.
I think they took DeMarco because if you think of some of the other quarterbacks they have, Nice Winder, whatever the guy name is in Montreal, Winder.
He was a free agent.
Free agent. And then what's the other guy he had in Montreal? Not Smith, but
Marsh.
The other guy, man. Marsh.
Marsh.
Marsh. Drew Tate. I mean, DeMarco has better experience. He's not injury prone like Tate.
You know what I liked was the remark that
you couldn't take Tate. They couldn't take Tate after they took Glenn.
Right.
DeMarco was the
right.
absolute best quarterback out there that was not a free agent.
No, but yep. I was more referring to the receivers than I was the quarterback, Christopher. But you're right. You know, yeah, absolutely. They could only take one quarterback from the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
you actually said, Frank, you said, what was DeMarco the best pick overall?
Yeah, but
the
you know what?
Second best overall.
Yeah,
but
there were other guys. Were there not other guys? Now, I forgot the guy's name, had an Italian name that Kelly mentioned. And he was mentioned as the next option they would have taken. In Saskatchewan, Sansari or whatever his name is.
Sansari.
Yeah.
Sansari.
Right? And even Ottawa said he was our next option. It was between him and who they picked. And, you know, they went with They went with the shorter guy. Which
they went with a second stringer as opposed to a third.
Yeah, well, you know, when we get into that depth chart, you know, it's you know, when you've got a guy, Durant, who's pretty durable, you know, you don't really get
to see
what the other guy.
They went with a second stringer who was under contract and also had some experience underneath his belt. They had other people who were not under contract, who had a lot of experience, i.e. Caleros and so forth, who are free agents,
Nichols.
So they didn't sign them. This guy
Nichols?
At least...
Yeah.
But Nichols is still it's not a sure thing on him as far as his return is, his health and stuff.
Well,
at least they got some action film. They have some film on this guy. He performed pretty well for BC considering, okay?
To begin with, they even admitted that, John. They said, yeah, he had a good start, but then they also said, but there were reasons why he wasn't successful later on. They said that in their interviews. So
remember,
yeah,
he's a second stringer. He's a second. Look, it doesn't matter. He's always going to be backing up Glenn. So it really doesn't matter who's going to be backing up Glenn. They're going to get somebody else probably with the next in training camp. There's going to be 3-4 quarterbacks trying out for second, third string.
Absolutely.
He might even lose it. He might even lose
it. And John, isn't it true, John? Guys, isn't this true? And we have to go to Manasseh. I think it's Manasseh. Anyway, isn't it also true that you have to have some good guys that the new guys can, beat out for their position? I mean, we're talking now that they've got a basis for a team, a real CFL football team of some quality, with some quality players that now when they bring guys in, if those guys they drafted today don't make the team, it's going to be because they did a great job bringing in new guys to compete for positions. Would people agree with that in general?
Of course.
Yep, I agree.
Well,
right?
Mike, I got to ask you, Townsend, is I'm surprised you're not saying nothing about losing Hugh, center. I mean, and the reason it's kind of ironic. Glenn and Hugh, they centered. He centered for Glenn. For how many years when he played for the Ticats, right? So they have some sort of, immediate connection, and it's important. Ask any quarterback, your center is like your best buddy, all right? He's got to know your touch, your feel. He's got to know your voice, just the whole nine yards. You got to get tuned in with him because unless that ball is snapped right directly in his hand, it's not a play. It's not a play. It's a fumble. So these guys work together. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Hamilton did not protect them. He's a community guy.
I'm not, John. He's prone to injury.
He's
going to
retire, I think.
I
do, too.
Well, you know what? A lot of times what happens in expansion drafts is players who are contemplating retirement get this little extra energy bump, from being on a new team and this new thing. Because I can imagine how thrilling it is for the players who have been drafted, guys. It isn't a negative thing. I mean... They all know, like we know, guys, that we all agree about this because we've talked about this for a long time, that this is a pretty good situation for the first year for this Ottawa team, right? So being a part of that can't hurt, plus being the first players to be playing for this team, which, you're a demarcation point in the history of this team. You're the first player, That's pretty cool, actually. I don't want to sound like what name, but...
No, it is. It is. It's, I mean, to me, it's an honor.
Exactly. Thank you, Aaron. 100%. Now, 613, is that you, Manasseh?
No, it's Rob J. Emery.
Wow.
Oh.
If I sound
disappointed, it's only because you're the only Red-Black fan in the room.
Red-Blacks all the way. Marwan Hages is the center. Kevin Glenn is the quarterback. Siobhan Walker is our running back. Come on. You got Delahunty as our slot back wide receiver. Come on.
How thrilled are you, Robbie, with Siobhan Walker as your running back on expansion?
You know what? I'm just surprised Hamilton didn't say we're going to protect him. He's like one of the best running backs in the CFL today.
He's one of the good running backs, but they can afford to get rid of him because they got a lot of other a couple of more running backs they have on there. What's that guy's name? Hey, Boy. I can't think of the guy's name.
C.J. Gable.
There's that guy. Yeah, there's C.J. Gable. That guy seems to be a pretty good running back. They may survive using him.
Exactly. Yeah,
he was expendable.
That's all I got to say is red blacks.
Yep. No, and you know what? You can say it again, and it's red black.
Red black.
Is it red blacks or red black?
Red blacks.
Is it?
Yeah. Blacks.
Okay, good. So
red blacks,
well, before today, they were red black because they probably had like one player, but now they have more than one. Multiple players now. So they are definitely the red blacks.
Now they got a full team out there to show all the other CFL teams what it's all about, winning a Grey Cup.
I'm truly very happy for the Ottawa football fans and the Ottawa Red Black fans. It is really nice to see in various ways the excitement and the enthusiasm coming from the Ottawa Valley. I mean, it's great to see, another Canadian team, number nine. And the best thing about this, and I hope the Red Black fans aren't insulted by this, but it also means that there'll be a 10th team shortly down the road.
Yep.
3-4 years.
And I look forward to that almost as much.
Or Halifax.
Well, it's going to be Halifax. It's going to be... We can agree on this, right, guys? It's going to be Maritimes or Quebec. Those are your two options.
And you know, I know Cohen has a meeting with the mayor of Halifax in mid-January. So, but I think the big thing, for those qualification, I am a Maritimer. I think the thing is, though, there is no owner. There's no money. They've got to find an owner that can come to the table and fund the team.
What about that guy that makes French fries?
Well, McCain's? Scott McCain and Michael McCain are here in Toronto now. They own the Sea Dogs in St. John, New Brunswick on the AHL, on the Q League. There's really no affinity for football with them. They're hockey guys.
Oh, that's
so
too
it would
bad.
Be them. I mean, it could be.
That,
I mean,
isn't that, aren't they the guys, aren't, isn't that the family with money down east?
Well, you've got the Irvings as well.
Oh, yeah, the oil guys. Yeah, that's right.
You've also got a family that owns the Sobeys. And you have a friendly gentleman who owns this big company called Tim Hortons. Ron Joyce is down there.
What happened there?
Ron's in Halifax.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Okay, but you say there's no money, but there is money. It's just the money that's there is interested in the CFL.
That's always been one of the problems, and we've heard that lately, is that there's money there. However, there's no affinity for the football program there. And if you're going to have an owner coming in and, risking losing, you've got to find other funding options. So you're either going to have a collaboration of 3 to 4 owners in it, or you're going to look at other options, including public funded.
I would dearly love to see the federal government get involved. They've thrown money at Quebec for years. For years they've thrown money at Quebec. I'd like to see them throw some money at Ottawa. At the Maritimes.
Well, I'm going to say,
I'd like to
say
see
my
Ottawa piece. Throw money at the Maritimes. I'm not talking about, this isn't a lot of money, but I would love to see them, because I think it's important for Canadians that we have a team from coast to coast. I would like to see that. It's a bit of, dream of mine.
I'm going to say one thing, and then I'll let the other guys speak, and that is the Maritimes, Quebec got a lot of money, so they threaten to leave. If New Brunswick and Nova Scotia threaten to leave, I'm pretty sure the rest of Canadians won't be too concerned. So dumping the money in there doesn't have the same weight as Quebec.
Somebody's got to mute a mic.
Oh, my
God. What the hell is that noise? Every time Robbie comes on, we got back.
Oh, yeah. That's John over there. What the hell are you doing?
Well, it wasn't going on before you called, dude, so I don't know what the hell.
Guys,
anyway, it went away.
I can find out, because what I'll do is I'll kill the microphones of everybody one at a time, and then I'll find out where it's coming from, and then we can – I don't think anybody's doing it on purpose, all right? So nobody please get their back up, because I think it's just something that's happening, and it's more or less a piggybacking of a hassle on, you know, in the sound quality. And I don't think anybody's doing it. But if they are, that we'll help them to figure it out and take care of it. So by virtue of what our friend Aaron McIntosh just said, it does not sound like there is an appropriate commitment by the eastern, you know, part of Canada, the Maritimes, to either do it individually or as a group, come in and become a partner in the Canadian Football League, where Mr. Cohen can, you know, throw his, you know, wonderful support behind, which basically ipso facto leaves us with,
These are
Quebec.
Only my opinions. I will caveat these.
No. Hey, listen. Your opinions. Don't be defensive about your opinions, because quite frankly, I wouldn't say that if I didn't think I heard it before. And you know, because there is such a battle, like, it's a kind of ironic kind of battle that's happening, you know, on the East Coast. They all want to be the leader on, you know, as far as the profile of the team. But none of them have taken a leadership role in bankrolling the event or team. So you're not speaking dishonestly here. Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think the cash flow or the situation is to start a team? I know they had a $7 million franchise fee, and then you got to look at your salaries for the first year is about $5
million.
So we're at 12.
Million first
stadium. You think it's a $20 million bill if you've got a stadium?
No.
For the first year or two?
Christopher, I would not feel bad at all if the federal government said, boys and girls, we think the Canadian Football League is a great league. We think it is part of the fabric of being Canadian, and therefore we are going to ourselves drop $200 million for a stadium.
Not going to happen.
I know it's not going to. I know it might not happen. I'm not going to say it isn't going to happen. But gentlemen, do you or do you not believe there is no other league in Canada that carries the Canadian flag with so much pride and so much weight than the Canadian Football League?
Well, nobody's arguing with that.
There's no way that the federal government can justify that for a minority of the Maritimes,
because it's such a small minority of people over there. I mean, you look at their towns. They're puny. And I don't mean that in any disrespect to any Maritimers here. There's just no population base out there to justify that.
So what, Christopher? Seriously, so what?
I'd love to see a team there, being from the Maritimes. I would absolutely love to see it.
Listen, when you're talking about, if the Argos are okay with 22,000 people at a game, all right, 25.
They're not okay, though.
No, but, you know, John, I know. But you know what, John? Tim Hortons, where's Bruce John Inch when we need him? 22,000 seats. And then, of course,
You know, guys, it is what it is.
We are what we are. And I would damn you guys, and I love you guys all, but damn it, I would love to see an Eastern Canadian team in the Canadian Football League. You know, I agree. Good. Because I take my lead from the fact that here we are, guys, if I can change sports right now. Because I have this ongoing battle in my mind when it comes to the National Hockey League. I did a story, and the only reason I say I'm not trying to promote the fact that I did a story. I'm trying to promote the fact that less than $20 million per United States team is contributed to the National Hockey League. And they have many more teams than the Canadian teams. The Canadian teams, per Canadian team, they generate 60, three times as many dollars as the American teams do. And yet they have 7 out of the 28 teams. You know what I mean? And I happen to think, and those Canadian teams, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens, etc., are supporting teams in Nashville, Phoenix. Well, fuck it. I think we could friggin' support a fucking team in a place called Canada. So let's forget the bullshit. Like, you know what? Sports teams, that's what they do. There are teams that are popular and raise funds, like Saskatchewan. You take a couple of shekels from them, and you move them over to the Maritimes. Big friggin' deal.
Frank, I love your passion and the expansion thought, but the reality of it is they don't want to have another Ottawa. They don't want to have
another Montreal. John, it won't be another Ottawa.
Let me finish. No, I'm not being silly, because you have not been through those phases in those decades, lived through it with
sure
those
I
fans
have.
When they lose it because of bad ownership, because of bad stadium situation, because
I've
of bad
there.
Everything. So with the East Coast situation, until the East Coast people put up the money and actually say we want it, why would they go out there and take another chance of another failure, another black eye? It just is not worth it. Not when they're expanding.
John,
being smart
I disagree.
About it, Frank.
You're not looking at it from the new age of television. I tried to explain to you.
Well, then
the
they're
going to
stay home and watch
television.
It on TV.
In my opinion,
fans out there, the fans and the ownership out there has to commit to a stadium. They can't
John,
do it.
I get what you're saying.
The government would chip in,
but
if
John,
there was an owner that said,
it.
"Okay."
I get it. I understand what you're saying. You're right. In 1980. But it's now 2014, where a place like Phoenix that doesn't give a friggin' rat's ass about hockey
apples
can
and oranges population.
No,
apples and oranges population.
John,
there's a sports
John,
base
Mr.
in Phoenix.
Granger,
there's a college base. There's college
about,
colleges. There are
what
students
what
out there
about,
in Phoenix who will go to the games,
John,
Frank. There are there I isn't a college base out in Halifax.
But what
you know?
About isn't about that. It's about
it
the
is.
Fact that no. It's about the fact that a sport is bigger than the communities that it encompasses. The NFL, John, the NFL has a place called Green Bay that under your theory has
Frank,
no right
in Green Bay, there are students, there are colleges that are so in deep rooted in football there. That's the reason why it works, even on a community owned basis.
I'm not talking
it
about
that. Frank,
go ahead, Christopher.
Frank,
you, anybody wants to correct me, please go ahead. Be my guest.
I'd like to jump in here just for a second.
Please do.
There,
and Mike,
if
you can jump
in
too.
Then shut up.
No, I don't want to. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't. Saskatchewan, it's a culture. It's a religion. It's been going. It's a passion that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. The Maritimes have been ignored by the CFL for so long that all of those people have all gone off and found their own teams to support or found their
early,
own sports
junior
to support.
Hockey.
Okay. Yeah, all of those things. Now, I'm not saying that a CFL team would not exist in Moncton or Halifax, because I truly believe that it will, because they don't need that many fans to come out to a game to support it, to make it work. It's great.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. But there has to be a huge chunk of cash up front to do that. The Canadian federal government cannot drop coinage into the Maritimes to build a sports team when Saskatchewan had to pull telethons to keep their team going.
Right.
There's no way that that is fair to make that happen. It's not fair to BC. It's not fair
hang
to...
Hang on. You're talking about a team that existed and headed downward. We're talking about it. We're talking about investment in something new.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Which is
that's
even
all
harder.
That's a different something.
There was already roots there, Frank, and they had to go through that. Now with no roots and nobody coming up with the money... No. You know, CFL
hang on,
has
hang
to go
on,
up to Quebec.
Aaron,
they got to go to Quebec.
Aaron himself said that don't take him verbatim on the fact that nobody wants to put the money into the East Coast. Right, Aaron?
Yeah, to me, I mean, it really doesn't... I think the bottom issue is you're not going to need a huge... Sorry, I'm going to... You don't need a huge fan base to support the league because you're going to have a lower cost. You're going to have a lower cost of goods to run the league. The bigger issue is having that one owner that raises his hand and says, I'll help bankroll us at the beginning. I'll take stewardship for this team.
and finding that one owner. There's tons of money in the Maritimes. There's more money in the Maritimes than people even believe.
Agreed.
The problem is there's nobody stepping up to make that initial.
Well, nobody wants to take. Nobody that wants to take the responsibility for saying yes. You can hang your team on my boat hook.
Yeah, but the other thing it goes to is jobs. Typically with the government funding, sports is one of those kind of enigma type things where in some communities there's a passion for it. In the Maritimes, there's a passion for hockey. But that even the AHL teams have not
curling,
survived.
Curling. And curling. They're very big in curling.
And curling. Colleen Jones and others, God bless them heart.
Absolutely.
You know, we love curling. But the thing with football is you have the St. Mary's football program. Dalhousie's football program failed. They're literally a kilometer from Mount Allison football. And there was a point in time where they were getting smoked 105 to nothing. There's a key. There's really no football.
Ouch.
The only football program in New Brunswick is Moncton. So, and Fredericton High School. So you don't have a lot of football program there. However, that being said, we have adopted teams from away, but Maritimers, if something is given to them and there's something to cheer for, they will cheer for them. You look at the St. John Sea Dogs, people travel for up to 300, 400 kilometers to go. However, they don't buy season tickets for them unless they live in St. John proper. So if you need 17,000 or... You have to depend on that 17,000, 8,000 to 9,000 of that coming from corporate dollars. You're going to run into an issue. So one, you need a big owner up front to step in, unless they allow a community ownership model, or a provincial ownership model. And secondly, you need a huge corporate play up front to buy the season tickets to pay for the sponsorships. Really, you've got Alliant, you've got Cavendish Irving, I guess they're the same, McCain Foods, you've got some, like, mining, geological, you've got some gas stuff going on.
Oil?
It's
what about Newfoundland?
Right,
because Newfoundland has money coming out the wazoo, but they really don't care about football, do they?
Well, they don't care about it. It's a logistics thing. I mean, you'd be flying 9 teams a year on the most expensive air travel route in North America. It just doesn't make sense, and that's why the St. John's Maple Leafs folded. It really boiled down to travel costs and boiled down to is it 8 or is it 8:30? I don't know.
No worries. Aaron, no worries. I wanted to explore in my own mind at this very moment the possibility, can anyone talk me in or out of the Maritimes? Unfortunately, and I have to say this with total sadness, considering the group that I have in the room with me here today, that I have to throw my support now into Quebec City, when I say Quebec. So I, in my own mind, by virtue of, if I can trust what everything that, you know, what you guys have said and the certainty that has been spoken here today, I guess, gentlemen, what you're saying is that if there's going to be an expansion team, it appears at this point, not necessarily by a nose, but at least by a head, it'll be Quebec City.
No,
it has to be.
I would still think it's going to be the Maritimes, but it just may be delayed longer.
No, guys, in Quebec, and we've talked about this probably on the 50th show that we did, Frank. In Quebec, they have such a deep root of football in high school, in private leagues that they have. I mean, they're really involved. That's the reason why the Alouettes picked up so well, and they have such a great following. But Quebec City, you know, they're talking about the Nordiques and the arena and so forth. I mean, they have that fan base that is just craving for something. And because football is, you know, embedded in their culture in Quebec, believe it or not, I was shocked. I saw a CBC report on it, you know what I mean, on the news about it, how the leagues and the parents, how they get involved, and it's actually bigger than hockey in some areas. So that's the reason why they should go there, because they deserve it. They have the ground roots already there with a fan.
John, I think many people in this room know as well that, or those that have done the research know that Laval is the stir stick when it comes to the next franchise in Quebec City. But unfortunately, the owner of Laval and the football program does not, at least as recently as this past year, wants nothing whatsoever to do with a CFL team. Gentlemen?
He's making a lot of money privately. Can you blame him?
No, this is not about blame. This is about you know, opening our minds to be, you know, and some might suggest, well, I thought we were going to talk about the Ottawa Red Blacks, and how come we're talking about expansion? Well, the Ottawa Red Blacks are expanding into the CFL. And let's be honest, and this is why I'm, I guess this is why I'm sort of enamored with the idea of a 10th team, because it's an even number.
Mm-hmm. Yes, really, sense. Frank. And let me just chime in on this. Now, people are talking about, you know, bad owners and things like this. Now, I'm going to go back to the expansion days of the U.S. expansion. When, listen, hear me out.
No, I'm just
the Sacramento team, there was a Sacramento team that had ended up going from the Canadian League to the World Football American League, or some crap that it said. They just switched owners. You have a lot of owners down here in the States, man, that own football teams with some of these leagues that have been defunct. Now, if Coyne wants to put a league, another team in a city, all these millionaires know each other, man. All you have to do is talk to some of these owners that own these teams, the rights to these teams, and see if they want to be part of the Canadian Football League. If they have a stadium they can play in, if they have fans that come to a game, I don't see why you don't reach out to some of these owners. Because I'm going to tell you, one owner I know right now, if Mark Coyne would talk to him right now and put him a sweet deal on the table about being an owner in the CFL, I'm guarantee you he'd do it, and that's Mike Ilitch, the Little Caesars dude.
I agree with you, Mike, and I know that you feel that it's imperative that if there's any consideration for expansion, it be done closer to the 49th parallel, as opposed to going down south where people don't appreciate the CFL game. You know, and I'm not 100% against it, but I'm deeply against it, because until you can convince me, Mike, and anyone else coming out of the northern United States, where many agree that is the, or think that that's the best way to go about this, if the CFL were to expand the Canadian Football League brand of football in the United States, you know, that is the location where it should be done. I just don't think that you can convince politically American people to understand that the Canadian Football League game, and where there is a ratio and you need to respect it. I don't think you can convince Americans to do that as much as you can convince Americans. I think you'd be more fortunate and lucky to be able to convince Americans to lay down their guns.
Yeah, but you know what, Frank?
An owner for a Canadian team in Canada.
Yes.
No.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, Mike, is that what you were talking about? I thought you were talking about
yeah,
expanding to the northern extremities of the United States.
No.
Uh-uh.
I think Mike was talking
you
about finding an owner for the Maritimes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love
that's
you,
like,
Mike.
That's like,
I'm going to come over there and kiss you.
That's like the guy, I don't want to mention his name, the former Freeport Pirate owner. I mean, he's from Detroit. He's an American and owns a CFL team.
You're talking
I'm pretty
about Mike
sure,
Ilitch.
Yeah, I'm talking about Mike Ilitch. Because Mike Ilitch, he's a man, I mean, being from Detroit, I'm pretty sure Mike Ilitch knows a lot about the CFL.
Mike Ilitch is one of the class individuals in sports.
Thank you.
I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. This guy has carried the weight of the world on his shoulders and still maintained a great hockey, you know, history, you know, hockey town in Detroit. So I think the CFL would be honored, and no one could suggest even being less than honored, being involved
mm-hmm.
in anything with Mike Ilitch. He's a class act. He's probably the only class act in the National Hockey League. The rest of them are a bunch of, you know, swindlers. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're guys that you don't shake hands with, because then you have to count your fingers. You know, the National Hockey League is not like the CFL. The CFL is a league that cares about Canada, wants Canada to enjoy their league. You know, the National Hockey League, on the other hand, just wants to pilfer whatever money they can get out of Canada so they can support the American teams. So, you know, and I don't think Mike Ilitch is one of those. He's fortunate enough to have a team in Detroit that's on the border of Windsor. And in that sense, he gets benefit of being American from Canadians nearby. But as far as football is concerned, if you could convince him to put money down to get a team in the Maritimes, hell's yeah.
Monkey.
Do it, buddy. But I think I was trying as hard as I can to hear the positive sense that there is for a franchise emanating from our beautiful maritime area, which, you know, it's not that I'm against Quebec. Please understand this, ladies and germs. This is all about having franchises from the east to west. I got this sort of Sir John A. McDonald thing, this train thing going on in my head. And I may be guilty of, you know, being that romantic, but it would be awesome. It would be wonderful. And it would be a monumental experience to have a Grey Cup played, in the Maritimes. Okay. Not because the team's playing there, but because that would be a place to have it.
You know what would be awesome, Frank? You know, sorry, Chris, I'm going to just jump in real quick, and we can get back into Ottawa again. What's unbelievable and awesome is that I can't believe that Ottawa did not pick up a kicker.
Well, you know, kickers. There's one here in Toronto that is a free agent.
40% of your points this season come from a kicker.
Yeah.
And they didn't get one.
But they haven't.
Who
had
are they,
the
John? Kick. Who are they going to pick?
Hello.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie, go ahead if you want to. Sure.
Okay, well, if you guys look at McMaster University, they got a kicker, Tyler Crepinia, who played here in Ottawa with the Sooners, and he would be a great fit for the Ottawa Redblacks. I don't know if Marcel Desjardins looking at the younger age to bring them up to see how they do, but Tyler Crepinia is a great kicker. And I think he'd be a great fit for the Ottawa Redblacks.
I just think that in a league where so many points are scored by a kicker, that they didn't go after that. I understand the quarterback is vital, yes. But that's the reason why they give you something if you grab a kicker or a quarterback, because they know that's an important position. Didn't even talk about that. I don't know. A little bit funny. I'm not saying they're going to be racking up a lot of points this season if they don't get a kicker.
John,
I think what's
going
to happen as far as the kickers go, they're going to wait till free agency come up with the NFL and bring some kickers in and try them out. That's all they
can
do.
I agree with Mike because back in the day, the CFL almost, I'm not saying they had a first crack at all the kickers. The NFL recently has become very aware that kickers are important, and by virtue of that have created a situation where kickers are hard to find.
If they want to sign a good kicker, I mean, you can go ahead and get my boy Justin Medlock, man. Come on now. If you want a good kicker.
Medlock, Danny. He's good.
Yep.
Well, Swayze Waters is a free agent, too.
Anybody watch the NFL Dallas game the other night?
No, because we're talking about the Redblacks and the draft. Robbie.
We
don't watch the NFL. Sorry, I can't.
What league? What, the no-fun league, Robbie? Is that what you're about? No fun? No, it's okay.
As far as the no-fun league, guys, as far as the no-fun league is concerned, one has to be very happy with the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, one of their most, famous teams, probably played their worst game ever.
Who gives a shit? How about that?
I just feel sorry for Jason.
Not me. I just know that because that's what the reporters said.
Good for that. I'd rather watch the Canadian Fun League than the No Fun League. All right? So let's just stick with that, Robbie. No NFL crap here, please.
All right, Granger.
All right. Got it straight. Thank you.
So it's okay. I mean, a veiled reference, and let's remember that it had to do... the excuse he had for introducing the NFL was because of a kicker in the NFL that may be available in the CFL. Correct, Rob?
Yep.
Robbie? You were going to say what an amazing comeback by Green Bay, right?
Lawrence Tynes played for the Ottawa Ottawa Renegades.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Bring him on to the Redblacks.
Show them what it's all about. Come on, bro.
Okay. Yeah, don't give him a hard time, man. He's trying to make a point.
Yeah, trying to make a point. We need Lawrence Guys, back
just,
here in Ottawa.
I'm just saying anything related to the NFL, I'm not interested in it. We're talking about draft talk here. If it's a player that the Ottawa can get from the NFL, then, yeah, bring it up, Robbie. I get it. I understand.
Lawrence
I'm not trying to cut you off. But,
Lawrence
you know, I mean, don't bring it up the NFL game. It's got nothing to do with the draft today. I think the Red Black
Lawrence
fans
Tynes.
Out
bring
there deserve
back.
That.
Lawrence Tynes, bring him back. He played in Ottawa once before. Why not
okay, I'm
let
tired
him come
of this
by and try it again?
I need an intelligent input into this show. Enough about stupidity, guys. Come on. Bruce John Inch is here, so let us raise the level of intelligence on this program. Bruce, welcome to the program.
How are you, gentlemen?
You're scaring me now.
No. Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Hey, Bruce, how are you, bro?
How bad, buddy, yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, I'm not a Ticat fan anymore, so...
Are you glad, Bruce, you didn't lose your quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
The one that matters.
The one that matters.
Lefebvre? Okay, name, Frank.
Burris.
I don't know which one, because Burris...
Come on.
Well, he
Burris.
Can't be taken.
Come on.
He can't. He's an agent.
But you love Javon Walker.
Yep.
I'm kind of hurt about that. I even went out on Saturday. The Hamilton Ticats had an annual locker sale, and I even bought his game jersey. So I guess I jinxed that.
You had a what?
I bought his game jersey, so I jinxed him.
At a locker room sale?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
they have that
every year in Hamilton. They have like a locker room sale where you can go
John,
in and
do
buy.
We have those in Toronto? Do we have those in Toronto?
No.
They're not
Frank
as good as Hamilton.
Frank is being a little bit sarcastic because
I know,
of what the Argos did to
because
us.
Because
so.
The Argos even posted on their website that you guys didn't have one this year and pissed everybody off.
Yep. Yeah. Idiots.
Red Black
I
is going to
I don't
one
feel,
the team.
I got to be honest with you, Bruce. I don't feel pissed off. I feel pissed on.
Oh, yeah. Either way, I guess.
Well, not
hey, Bruce,
subject,
Bruce.
No,
that's worse.
Hey,
I wouldn't want to be
Bruce,
pissed on.
Bruce, we're going to be on a good term, me and you. Because
we will.
When the Red Blacks are done this year, and they have that locker room sale, I'm going to go buy Chevron's jersey.
There you go. There you
so
go.
You have the Hamilton one, I have the Ottawa one.
That'd be sweet.
Okay,
well,
I plan on
going down to Ottawa and making a trip down there and watching a game this year. So.
Oh, yeah. You guys got to come down for that.
In all seriousness, Bruce, how do you think the draft went for you and the rest of the black and gold fans?
Honestly, I think we made it okay. We lost Marwan. I'm more worried about losing Marwan than I was Chevy. Chevy was a great player, don't get me wrong, but we got our running backs in place, like you said, C.J. Gable. You know, he stepped into Siobhan's spot anyway this year. For the Sentiments, we got Watt, or whatever, W-O-F-T, Watt, or however you want to pronounce it. We got him that can step in for Marwan on the center. But Marwan, you know, he's been here 10 years, man, and he's done a hell of a lot for the fucking city of Hamilton, never mind the team. You know, he's an ambassador to the city. He's had the kids thing going on for a decade now. He's the
that
only...
Was, that was,
kind
of, that was hey Bruce, that was
yes.
kind of like Wayne Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Wayne Smith
but,
had everything out there.
But, you know, it's... I think we did okay, though, you know.
Good.
I'm sad to see Marwan leaving Hamilton.
So am I.
He was out there when I was out there in 2006.
Now, I'm not going to lie. He wasn't the most personal person to the fans. It wasn't until this show, you know, I actually talked to the man. But, you know, he came around, I guess. Marwan's a very quiet guy, I guess, when it comes to the fans. And unless you approach him, he's not going to say much. But once you get the man talking, you know, he's got a lot of common sense and he's got a lot of intelligence behind his belt.
But
the
point is that you highlighted, Bruce, and that we all agree with, is that, you know, losing Chevron, I'll call him Chevron, Chevy, losing Chevy was really, and that's what draft is all about. You give up a guy, and you guys can all speak on all the teams and how you feel this is true. You give up a guy not because you want him to go, but because you have an adequate replacement that, you know, fits into the budget, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. You know, a younger guy, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, for example, here with the Argos, we have a Pottinger and a Pell, and these are wonderful men. These are great men. But, you know, probably, I don't want to put words in the Argonauts management's mouth, but they may feel that they had some people that were ready to step up and replace these guys. That's the reality of football, and that's the reality of the draft, and that's the reality of a depth chart.
That's
so,
right.
You know, Hamilton losing Chevy is irrelevant when you consider they have CJ.
That's right. And I totally agree. That's why I wasn't that disappointed when I was more disappointed I spent $300 on a jersey now. But
but you know, Bruce, it isn't just true for you. It's true for the other teams as well with the guys that they gave up. I mean, we can stay with your team and talk about Hage. You know, like he was injury prone and they've had to have a different center in there. And I'm sure that guy that they have right now has been healthier longer and is more of a better option than Hage. Haji.
And another thing, too, with Siobhan Walker, the reason he was expendable because you got Tavoy Moore and you got Lamar, I can't think of the other guy name on the contract, plus C.J. Gable. So you can have three running backs on the contract.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping Lindsey Lamar is going to be coming back because, you know, he was out the whole season. He had quite the headshot there. But I guess I can divulge this now because I was supposed to keep my mouth shut. I was told by management during the last couple of weeks of practice. But he was practicing with the team the last 2 weeks up here. So hopefully he'll be ready to go by 2014.
Right. And then, you know, he had Siobhan Walker had a time where he couldn't block.
That's right. I know. Yeah, I know. He was running east to west a lot of times too. But we never, you know, when he ran east to west too, we never really had any blocking for him. You know, to go up the middle.
But the point is, and you know, guys, the truth is that even though he may have not fit into Hamilton's plans, on a building team like Ottawa, he fits in fine.
Well, I think I bless him. I'm happy he's going to Ottawa. He's going to get a chance, you know, because he came in when a couple years ago when we had that DeAndre Cobb guy and he had the freshman blues and you don't even hear about him anymore. And CJ came in and did the job for us for 2 years and not CJ, Walker came in and then we got Gable. They came in to replace Walker. So in a couple more years, we'd be replacing another guy. That's just
Michael used the most explanatory word in the English language when it comes to players being let go because of other players. Expendability.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Without question. And actually, that's why I believe that the DeMarco, BC's loss on DeMarco was greater than anything else because we really have, we got Lule who's gone through his third shoulder surgery. How long is he going to be in this league? Okay, and I've said this for quite a while, and I said that BC is in the market for Caleros or Nichols or somebody. And we got Joey Elliott and Buck Pierce backing them up. We are very thin on quarterbacks right now, so DeMarco did hurt the Lions in that aspect of things. So, you know, he was not expendable.
You know what, Christopher? I think you're right, but also at the same time, I think you're wrong because I think what they're being forced to do now is, you know, DeMarco would be a what? A 1A? I mean, now they can really look for a 1.
Well, DeMarco, he also only had a 54% pass ratio this year.
Yeah, but he came in at a bad time, blame him for that.
DeMarco didn't losing him. Let's talk about the two you got left. Who are the two you got left?
Joey Elliott and Buck Pierce.
Now Buck Pierce is half a Buck Pierce, right? I mean, like he isn't a full Buck Pierce, right?
He's not what he used to be.
No, but, you know, that doesn't mean that he's not an asset, for goodness sake. No, it means he's still an asset.
Of course he is. He helped us out.
Absolutely. He's an asset. But it surely would be nice to have a guy that could take on the lion's share of snaps from, you know, from under the center. And we know, you and I both know, never mind everybody else in this room, Christopher, you and I both know Buck Pierce isn't that guy.
Nope. Well, of course he's not.
Right. So now with the absence and the departure, and I think I know from talking to you that DeMarco wasn't the number one guy either in the future. So really
nope,
they gave up nothing.
I wasn't sold on him.
Exactly. And you're a guy who solely considers, and I don't mean solely, you know, I'm using the wrong terminology here, but you more than anybody understands the needs of the British Columbia Lions.
Yes,
in this
I would
room.
Hope so.
In this room. I would hope so.
And I'm a BC fan too, so I understand what they need.
You understand what I'm getting at, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I know exactly what you're talking about, Frank. And
he
I
wasn't
know that,
the answer.
As
he
I
wasn't
said,
the answer. Now that gives you room to find the answer, right?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Of course.
That's not a bad thing.
I mean, I have no doubt that Wally had this planned, and DeMarco was going to go, and he knew it a year ago, and that he's got a plan for what's going on. I just think that Lule's injury this year not only accelerated it, but made it more important that we find a different quarterback.
Exactly.
Realistically, I don't think that Lule is long for this league, and that's the sad part. He's not going to make a 20-year career here in BC. Okay, that's just a fact, not the way he plays.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
Point.
It's
at
not going to happen any more than Dave Dickinson did. It didn't happen
juncture.
Any more than Buck Pierce.
What about Joey Elliott? Joey Elliott, man, he ain't no.
He needs some time.
He's no answer for anything.
He hasn't had a chance to prove he is.
He's had enough time that he's not the answer to anything.
Okay,
he's really not. And I'm
going
to tell you something
further.
What's going to have to happen with Wally's going to have to restructure a lot of them big-time contracts that they sign on the offseason, like Manny Arsenault and a couple of them other guys. They're going to have to restructure them contracts, and don't be surprised if Wally bring in the quarterback from south of the border.
Mike, let me ask you a question. Did the Red Blacks pick up any contracts they shouldn't have, in your opinion?
No, I think the Red Blacks did all right with their pickups.
Agreed.
You know, like the contracts they picked up are manageable, and
mm-hmm.
don't handcuff
yep.
them in regards to being able to do other things. Like even the contract that they're with Glenn, right? Like
mm-hmm.
they could still bring in a stud at quarterback. They're not relying
yep.
on Glenn being the stud. Economically now, I'm not talking about ability here. I'm talking
economically. Economically, no, they're not looking at Glenn to be the stud, but he's going to be the first-year starter until they can go ahead and manage some more contracts. Glenn's going to be the starter come first game of the season. Now, whether if he keeps the starting position, that remains to be seen. But you're not going to go in with a young, unproven quarterback as your starter being an expansion team. That's where you make the wrong mistakes right there. Because if you're bringing a young guy that cannot play or is not acclimated to the CFL, it's going to be a wash season for the whole squad, especially if we keep him as a starter and let him go ahead and have his growing pains. It ain't going to happen.
On the subject of economics, the biggest name in my mind in the ditch, in the trench, in the gutter, in the, you know, the heavier weight class, a young man named Shulgin. BC knows who he is. Christopher, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Buddy's got a great reputation. Kelly Bale is telling me, well, you know, this guy has like $120,000 attached to his contract. I guess what Kelly's trying to say is, of all the guys that our friends in Ottawa drafted, this might be the contract that, I don't want to say it's hardest to swallow, but this is one of those contracts that you can't have too many of on the team.
Shurligan. That's the guy from Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah,
that is
correct.
Yeah.
He had the best year he had last year.
Yep. Agreed.
You need a good blindside tackle.
Yes, you do.
He's the second highest paid position on the field.
And
yeah,
he's,
he
paid,
a,
and he's paid appropriately. And he is paid appropriately.
Yeah. And he does
okay.
a damn fine job of it.
There you go. Okay, so Kelly, as far as our guys here are concerned, Kelly Bale, the feeling generally here is speaking is that Shulgin is worth the money he's being paid, and they need someone of that kind of ilk and ability in the position that he's in. So yeah, but you know, in my mind, he was one of the bigger names. Once you eliminate Glenn, and of course, the quarterback position, can you guys imagine what it would be like in the CFL if there was no cap?
Wow. Yeah.
There was no cap.
We've been there, right?
Yeah. And what happened?
$5.5 million per year for Rocket Ishmael. Was that
what
stupid
happened?
Or what?
And what happened?
He died.
And so did the team.
Yeah,
because once they signed the moment they signed that contract. They signed the contract and it was only good for 1 year because then they had to pay a second year on that contract.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd like to go around the horn and give everyone an opportunity to talk about the draft, and I don't even want to ask you what to say or suggest what you say. Today's draft day, Ottawa, drafted a bunch of dudes, and some of the dudes were like high class dudes, guys that personally on every team I'm sure had a love relationship with their fans, like I did with the Argo players that we lost. One at a time, and I'll start with you, Mike, even though you were the last person to speak. In your opinion, what in the draft did you find worth talking about in the draft that Ottawa had today in the CFL 2014?
The quarterback position, and also I was going to mention earlier, but I didn't get a chance to, the receivers that they grabbed out of Winnipeg.
Was that crazy or what?
Yeah, because and the reason I know about this guy, man, from Winnipeg, Miles Richardson, he played for the Detroit Lions, man. He was undrafted by the Lions, signed by the Detroit Lions, didn't make the training camp, but he was good in the NFL when he had his time. So and I watched him play a couple of games with Winnipeg, and I knew he was going to be a stud. He just got to get acclimated with the CFL system, and he's going to be a good receiver in Ottawa. I plan for him to stick.
Miles Wallace.
Yes, that's who you mean. The guy they picked up in the first round, Mike?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miles Wallace.
Miles Wallace. That's Miles Wallace.
Miles Wallace.
No worries. Hey, listen, I was going crazy typing because – one of my friends, Phyllis Babin, whom Bruce John Inch would know, Bruce pointed out that my spelling errors were monumental. But that's because I was more or less interested in getting the information out there rather than it be accurate. So
that makes no sense.
No,
I know it doesn't, but I just was having fun with what I just said.
It's okay. I was only having fun with you, too.
No, I know you were, buddy. I love you. Bruce is my buddy. I've got a shirt now, a Hamilton Tiger Cat sweater that he's offered for me to keep. And Bruce, I still feel very, very badly about keeping it.
Don't feel bad. Don't.
I have
very,
to. I'm
very
an Argo
bad, Frank.
Fan.
Frank, feel very, very bad.
No,
I
don't feel bad.
I'm an Argo fan.
I still got a whole team locker room down in my basement, so it's all good.
And can I say this at this point in the program, other than the bottle and a half of wine that I've had since I've started the program? What I'd like to say is this, is that it truly does my heart good to know that in the room right now, I have seven other CFL fans who think it's important enough to talk about their team. And I am grateful to your presence in this program, gentlemen. I really am.
We are grateful for you having the show. If it wasn't for the show, we wouldn't be here.
Well, I just wanted to
thank you. Thank you and John. Too.
That's not why.
Well, I just want to say one thing to you guys,
that's not
too.
Why I said it.
I want to say I love you all from the deepest part of my soul. Every one of you goddamn CFL fans, you're beautiful.
You know what?
Is what Frank is trying to say.
You know what I can do? That's a nice thing about being in the position I'm in. I can turn people's mics off, and I can make it very quiet around here. And right now I can whisper because nobody can interrupt what I'm trying to say. And I am sincerely saying, regardless of the 4.5 bottles of wine that I've had, I can honestly say that I really appreciate, guys, what you guys have done. And you know, as far as the draft is concerned, which is where I was trying to... And I was trying to be nice so that I could, you know, say what I wanted to say, which is this. You know, the change that's taking place, we have another team coming into, you know, the CFL. And for it to come in, and to come in with a reasonable amount of gusto, it needs to come in with players that understand the game. So now that I'm done kissing up to you guys, this is what I'm trying to say, and that is that, is this as obvious as it is, and we all should agree, what is your belief that the impact of having a good draft for Ottawa, and will Ottawa, let's say extreme, finishing first in the Eastern Division, would that be a negative or a positive? Finishing in the middle of the pack would be better, yes or no? Or would it be a detriment that they finished, you know, behind everybody else? And I'll start with you, John. You haven't said anything in a while other than making fun of me.
Oh, come on. It's all about having fun. And I'm only kidding with you, okay? That's all I'm doing all the time anyway, Frank. This is a good thing if you're asking me, and there's nothing negative about it. They got to put something down. They got to start with something. They have now at least a nucleus to build with. They got, you know, fairly decent players. We're going to see how well they gel. I mean, guys, you know, you can have a great bunch of talented people on a team, but if the chemistry and all that stuff doesn't click, it's not just a matter of getting a bunch of good, decent guys and, okay, expansion team, yeah, we have a quarterback, they're going to do well. There's so much to it. And
Campbell.
This is... Yeah, it's a gamble. It's always a gamble, right? But
No. Campbell.
Campbell?
Yeah, the coach.
Campbell. The coach.
Oh, the coach, yeah. Well,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, John. Because you were saying yes. How much it took to be a winner. It's more than just about the players. It's more, you know,
right.
The coach.
So, I mean, you know, this is a good thing for Ottawa. I mean, look. I don't think they're going to be in first place next year. Okay, I think no.
Oski wee wee.
No, they're not going to be in first place next year. There's first of all, Hamilton finished off pretty impressive. Montreal. You don't know what Montreal is going to come out like next year. They're not going to come out like they started last year. Let's put it that way.
Is this not like, I know that like guys like Christopher like to make fun of our division. You know how
right.
pathetic we are. Oh, him and Manasseh. They like to make fun
no,
of how
I do not.
Our division,
no.
How pathetic our division is. But you know what? This division, the Eastern Division next year, is going to be very interesting because really, who do you have as the favorite, John? I know you're an Argo lifer. I'm an Argo lifer. We know who we want to be the favorite. But in reality, it's going to be a very interesting year next year with the Eastern Division. Within the Eastern Division, I should say.
I think the West is going to be always stronger when you compare team to team. It's just the way it is. It's a different mentality out there. You know, in the East, I Frank, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I just don't think Ottawa is going to be at the top. okay? We're giving it too much credit if we all think that. And we're putting, I think, a lot of pressure on Ottawa, as I guess they're due that pressure.
But as an Argo fan, I would like to place all that pressure on them to make it as difficult for them to have a good year as possible.
Well, then
it backfire on you, too. Look what happened to Hamilton. We had all the pressure on us last year.
Bruce would
know. I hate to tell you, but I predicted that Hamilton would beat Toronto in the playoff before the season even started.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was that when you start getting a fat head, that's what happens.
Mm. You also said Edmonton would be in the Grey Cup.
Hey, I did not say Edmonton would be in the Grey Cup. I said Edmonton would have the best second half of the rest of the team.
You said Edmonton was going to win every game the game before.
John, don't forget, John. I can replay what I said.
Oh, yeah, I know. Let's do it.
I can replay what
I
said.
I think Edmonton is still going to make the playoffs. I think Edmonton is going to still make the playoffs. But you know what, Frank?
I got to go visit Phyllis Babin. She wants me to share my wine with her.
Well, there you go. At least we know you're enjoying it. Is it a homemade brew?
Absolutely. I made it. When did I make it, Carolyn?
Yeah, she likes her wine.
The fall.
Okay. If we're going to go back to the question that you're throwing around the room here, was I already mentioned mine regarding what was my surprise or whatever. My surprise was they didn't pick a kicker. Plain and simple. And I think we already talked about it. So, next.
I'll jump up.
Go.
I was really surprised at the lack of defensive backs.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't
there weren't.
They grabbed the safety, and that was it.
You know why, Chris? Because there aren't too many good ones out there, and the ones that are good are being protected.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that.
I'm not arguing with that. My point was that, there just wasn't anybody in that backfield out there.
I know, nobody, right?
No, there wasn't. There was a safety, and that was it. And so that's going to be a little harsh for them. They're going to have to bring in a whole pile of raw rookies. Regardless, to be defending against some really good receivers that we have in this league and some good up-and-coming quarterbacks. So that's going to be their largest challenge. I don't think Ottawa is going to finish first. I don't think they're going to finish in the middle of the pack. I just think that the way that Toronto is sitting right now, the way that Hamilton is sitting right now, and the shining star that Montreal is showing, that the Eastern Division is going to be a lot tougher than what it has for a lot of years. And I'm really looking forward to this season coming up because I'm not going to say we have parity in the league, but I'm going to say it's going to be a lot closer and a lot more fun to watch.
Isn't that what it's all about, Christopher? Isn't that what it's all about? Like, as easy as it is to create a new team with no chance of beating anyone else, as much as that is a temptation, it sure is, a great feat of sportsmanship to give the other fans an opportunity. I agree with John. I got to say this. They're not going to win the division. But really, is that necessary, winning the division? I think as long as they are on the road to winning. Okay,
I don't think anybody expects them to. Rob, do you expect them to win the Grey Cup next year, Rob? Nope, he doesn't.
That's Rob's probably uncapping a beer. I uncap wine. He uncaps beer. Christopher, your turn. The draft today. You mentioned, very perfectly and with much aplomb, if you will, that defensive backs weren't picked off. They probably weren't the kind of defensive backs you'd really want in the draft.
Maybe I have them on mute.
No,
I don't have anybody on
mute. I just got a text from Mike Townsend. He says he hung up because every time that he got on the show, his co-driver turned up the fucking music. So... He's dropped out. So that's what my chuckle was for. What was the question, Frank? Sorry.
No, your opinion on the draft. And do the holes that now they have, as you highlighted with defensive back, they're not that hard to fill if if, and let me say this very clearly, if you have the resources and the staff to find, because defensive backs are the hardest role to fill in the CFL, no?
I agree.
I don't know about that.
Well, then how do you resolve the issue of not having them to pick from in the draft? How do you solve that problem? I know the answer. I'm just asking.
What was the question, Frank?
The question is this. There were no defensive backs drafted, so they're going to have to find some, right, Mike? Aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They need defensive
backs,
right? So are there defensive backs out there outside of the draft that can be acquired, trained, and be effective in the Canadian Football League?
Of course. And I know people don't want to hear this. I probably get a message from Kelly Bell by saying this, but I'm going to go
indoor league.
There you go. Because the indoor league is similar. It's for Canadian rules with the running motion.
Mm-hmm. I respect Kelly Bale's opinion, but here's the thing. It's not the opinion.
It's just an opinion.
Exactly.
Yep, just an opinion.
And we're all entitled to an opinion.
Like, because if you draft some defensive backs in the CFL draft, or you get some from you know, down south, when they got to come up to the CFL and get acclimated with the running motion and trying to get their speed up to keep up with these receivers, having guys that haven't played the running motions come. Be very hard for a defensive back to survive in the CFL, not having experience with the running motion.
Agreed.
You know?
My point in doing this and in not pulling any DBs out anywhere back there is they have no veteran in which to train the guys coming up. You know, there's no leader in the DB files, right? If they had grabbed Dante Marsh or Corey Banks, just as an example coming from BC, those guys, I'm sure, were not protected because of their age. Okay? If they had grabbed one of them, then they would have had a leader for a year or two, if that. And, you know, that's kind of what my point was being, and not bringing in any DBs. There's no teachers back there. There's no rock to build on.
Right. But you know what, Chris? What I'm thinking what they're going to do is I'm thinking what they're going to do. They're going to wait till they be able to sign some. So I'm pretty sure Ottawa's going to bring in some veteran DBs. But I think that what they're going to do is they're going to wait to see which ones get released from different teams. That's going to fit the mold of the defense they're trying to play.
Or free agents that are available at the time.
Yep. Or free agents
that's
available
what Mike
at the
said.
Time. Yep.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm not thinking.
Ottawa's going to be fine. Ottawa's going to do fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have a good nucleus.
Yeah.
They have a good team. They have a good structure. They've got a management team that's got their head on their shoulders. This franchise is going to be fine. They've got everything in place that the Maritimes don't.
And they have everything in place no Ottawa team has had in years.
Without question.
Right?
They have things in place better than
key?
Other CFL teams.
Well, for sure, starting with the Argos.
Now, they have ownership stability right now. They have what they need to fund themselves with the new stadium and the box seats and private seats before they even sell 10,000
tickets. John, they have
a
new stadium. They have an ownership that's committed to the team in the long haul.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff I wish the Argos fans like myself could lean on.
Well,
they're ahead of us.
You know what? I'm going to tell
ahead
you something, Frank. When the Argos move into their new facility and they get a different ownership, you're going to see a big turnaround over there, I'm telling you.
It will. They're going to have their own date.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, John and I have had long discussions about this. I will support the team as long as they show me that their intention is to win games.
There you go.
As much as it is to win, you know, to make profit. You know, I've explained that to John. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And as long as the ownership that comes in here is one that believes in trying to win, then I will be loyal to them to the end.
Let's just put it this way. Let's put the cap on this. The ownership that comes in does this time around is the ownership that sticks around. They got their own gig. They got their own everything. So there's no reason for them to fly away. And if it is MLSC...
Well, that's assuming that it's MLSC, and that's assuming that it's someone
with
deep pockets.
No, you know, let's assume it's not. I want to go back to the Red Blacks, but let's assume it's not, Frank. It's still going to be a long-term ownership, because when this owner has its own facility...
I have nothing against that.
Mike is right.
All I care about is that you've got an ownership in the Red Blacks that understands, really does understand that the team is something that the fans wish to support, but they can't support a team that isn't trying or showing, in reality, trying to win. Because, gentlemen, there's seven of us now in this room, and I think all seven of us have an idea of what a winner looks like, and we know what a loser looks like. Well, my name's Frank, and I don't support a loser.
Right.
Am I right or am I wrong?
My name is John, and I support the CFL, win or lose.
Oh, here we go.
Or die.
Oh, I'm such a sweetheart. I love everyone.
Hey, Frank,
there's no
one
I don't
love. You are. You can be what you want to be as a fan, but to me, I don't care what the ownership is. I don't care what our record is each year. I'm going to buy my season ticket because I'm double blue for life.
My name is Bruce, and I plan on buying an Ottawa Red Blacks jersey just for that.
There you go. Bruce, if he goes through 12 seasons of not making the Great Cup, there's a question for you.
Because I understand, in my heart, I'm more of a fan like you are than I am like John, by virtue of what John has said.
Bruce would never cancel a season ticket if they lost ten seasons in a row.
Sure he would.
If
the team is jerking him around, he won't buy a season ticket. Am I wrong?
Bruce knows that the owner is temporary. They're just guardians, Frank. He's got to suffer through it. But you don't jump on the team.
I understand that, John. But what the
point
I'm
like
trying to make is the
he's,
point
he's
I'm trying
diehard.
To make. The point I'm trying to make. Of course, he's a diehard. So am I. It doesn't mean you can't die. It just means that you die hard. Bruce.
Don't cancel your season ticket, man,
true,
if you're
Bruce,
a diehard.
True or not, does the ownership and the ownership of the team have an obligation to you in some definition in your own mind?
Absolutely, 110%.
Every ownership, but they don't all do.
The point is, John, and because I already know the answer to the question, I'm not stupid enough to ask a question I don't know the answer to. Would you buy a season ticket to the Hamilton Tiger Cats if you didn't know where you were sitting, or you weren't sitting where you thought you'd be sitting?
What?
I wouldn't.
Wait a
exactly.
minute. First of all, I would buy a season ticket as long as I know I'm going to be in the game at some point at that day when it's being played. I don't care if it's on the 10-yard line,
John,
I don't care if it's on the 50. I'm putting
John,
my money down.
We don't all have to be fans like you. We can be fans like...
Why not? This is the CFL. This is what, I strive to do, Frank, on the supporter section
and
on Facebook.
And congratulations. But the fact remains that if you screwed Bruce John Inch around, he isn't going to buy a season ticket. Am I right, Bruce, or not?
Absolutely. I didn't buy it for Ottawa.
I didn't buy it when
we played in Guelph. For the simple fact, Hang on a minute, John. Let me explain. It had nothing to do with the players on the field. It had to do with the upper management treating the fans like a piece of shit. Not letting them know what the fuck was going on, giving us ultimatums, either we do it their way or it's the highway. Well, you know what? I chose the highway.
Bingo.
Are you still going to go to the games, Bruce?
I went to four golf games this year, and all four tickets were given to me. No, so the answer is no. I didn't buy one ticket for golf.
Frank is talking about this present
situation. No, John. Listen to the point I'm trying to make. Bruce, I have to walk him through this because we had this conversation for like 2 hours on the phone today. Now you go back to the new Hamilton Stadium. They give you the seats that you expect or reasonably expect. The team is a reasonably good team. You appear to at least believe that the team is trying to be successful. You have no problem with buying season tickets and being there every game, do you?
I have my season tickets now for 2014.
Point made. Thank you very much.
You know what? I just want to say this.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Bruce?
I understand, yeah.
Okay, What Frank is saying is this. Bruce, if you go back where you want and you sit where you want, and for the next 3 years they don't make a winning team, you're going to cancel your season ticket. Are you?
No.
Thank you, Frank.
Is that what I said, Bruce?
No. Yeah, that's what you meant.
That's
not what I meant.
I took the way Frank was making it, the way, because Frank and I have had conversations too. I think what Frank was saying is what they did to us in 2013, only that 1 year.
1 year. That's right.
The point is,
3 years from now.
Bruce, you go to the game to look for satisfaction in the hopes that your team can win. It doesn't matter whether your team wins or not. It's just that as long as you believe they're trying to, that's all that matters to you.
Look at the fans that showed up in Winnipeg this year. Okay, they deserve better, but they're there. And they're going to be there next year, and they're going to be there the year
after.
Because those fans support their team through thick and thin. I don't know if you guys remember two names, Murray Pezum and Nelson Scalbania. The two worst eras in BC Lions football history, and yet we stuck through it because we were fans. Okay, and as soon as the team looked like they shouldn't be there anymore, what do you do? Do you stick with them or not? So I understand both of you guys' points of view here,
but
you're pushing it a little bit too far.
But okay, Christopher, your only form of support is to go to the games, not to actually watch or care about what's going on with the franchise. It begins and ends with your ass, your fanny in a seat.
No.
If you're in the city limits, yeah. If you're in the city limits,
John,
you can make it there by transit,
Chris, the question,
half an hour.
Does the definition of your support of the team begin and end with your fanny in a seat?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Thank you, Chris. That's all I'm trying to say.
Let me qualify my statement first, okay? Because I want to qualify this.
I didn't say I wouldn't
support Frank.
I
don't think Frank
understands what it is. Here's what I'm saying. If I'm going to support a team as long as I believe in my heart that they're trying to win. Because any team that I buy a season ticket for better be trying to win. They don't have to win. They just have to convince me, Frank, that they're trying to win. That's all I ask. And if they don't do that, if they don't reach that pinnacle, that level of interest, then I'm not interested. And it's not that hard, John.
Frank? There is no stopping. There's going to be at some point where I see it doesn't go right for me.
Become a Maple Leaf fan where you say,
hey, this is not NHL, Frank. We're a different breed, bro. Get it? Come on. You got to know us by now. You're talking to us every night. We don't just quit the friggin' team because they lose or the franchise. Don't bring it up that way. Don't put an ultimatum out there that you might stop because you don't like the way the management is running the team. That's what you're saying.
No.
If you don't like the way the management runs the team.
I feel as though in my heart that they're trying to win, that they're more concerned, and I said this to you today, and I'll say it again. If they're more concerned with their profit margin and not their winning margin, then I'm not as interested in the team as I should be or will be.
But
that's
who's
all
the
I'm
president?
Saying.
Toronto
Maple Leafs. Understand that?
Who's
Christopher,
that,
do you understand
though?
What I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Frank, I understand exactly what you're saying. I just disagree with it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I did not renew
in 2013 because they weren't trying to win. That had nothing to do with me not renewing.
I'm sorry, man.
Does leaving you right mean anything?
What?
Well, yeah, but
right,
treating you right means something. But I'm not gonna cancel my seasons because
They didn't say hi to me, but, you know.
No,
I'm,
but if you felt, Bruce, if you felt that the team wasn't giving
was
an honest
Bruce.
Effort towards winning, if the team wasn't giving an honest effort towards winning, would you be a supporter for the team?
Well, we weren't in the playoffs for fucking 10 years, man.
I know. You still buy your season ticket.
That's right. The reason why I canceled was, I'm not even going to get into that.
John's right. Hey, listen, guys, let's understand something about Frank. I don't mind admitting that I'm wrong. And I don't mind admitting that your way works for you. All I'm saying is I think I have the right to say whether it works for me or not. And I agree with – I love the fact that Bruce John Inch feels that he should support his team whether they win or lose. I understand that. I don't have a problem with it. What I have a problem with is when if the new organization that owns the Leaf team starts doing what they've done with the Raptors and not to mention the team that might be owning us, the Argos, the Raptors and the Leafs and so on, and they're more concerned with how many people log on to their sites and stuff like that, and they get their basic cornering of the market. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in? I'm interested in seeing a team that goes out there and has a chance to win. Whether they do or don't doesn't matter. I just want to know that when I go to the stadium, I sit in my seat. I want to know that team has a shot to win, not a shot to win at the economic, at what's the name of the company business guy that the Leafs are the number one team in hockey. I don't want to know that the Argos are the number one team in football. I want to know that the Argos care about fans. I'm not, no, but that's what I'm Christopher,
Sports
that's what I'm
saying.
Shut up, Bruce.
All I want to say is, me personally, I'm an Ottawa Redblacks fan this year. I'm going to pull it for Ottawa.
Because of Glenn?
There you go. I got to stick with your hometown kid, baby.
See, but that's because I listen to you, Michael.
Got to stick with the hometown kid.
I care what you think, Michael. I care what everybody thinks.
And I'm going to tell you something, and Kelly Bell brought this to my attention a few minutes ago when Chris brought up about the defensive backs that's out there. Kelly brought up that Macho Harris is a free agent. And we know Macho Harris is a good defensive back. So don't be surprised if you see him in Ottawa when they start signing players.
No, I believe Ottawa will do well in their backfield. I was just surprised that they didn't take one for free.
Right, right. I feel
that's all.
Was there one
and,
to
take, okay.
Christopher? Was there one? What one would you have taken if you were the Red Blacks?
We never know. We won't know. We'll never know who was protected and who
wasn't. Whoa. Christopher,
but
take a step back.
It's too much of a hypothetical, Frank. It's too much of a hypothetical. There's so many names to pick from.
No, there is no hypothetical here. It's not just a hypothetical. It's about
protected.
If Christopher... Okay, were all the defensive backs protected?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Christopher, were all the defensive backs protected? Was there not anyone that you saw that could have been picked up? To be able to make that comment, one would think that you would have seen one.
No, we don't have a protected list, Frank. Nobody gets to see those. Nobody. So that way,
sure we
do. Players.
So,
no, you don't.
So.
No, you don't. We
only
want
the
players
thing
released.
Today.
Yeah, only Ray was told that he was protected. Other players were not told that they were being protected. We're not supposed to do that.
They may have, but they didn't tell publicly.
Right.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you something.
Hang on a second. Are you guys telling me that there wasn't a list provided publicly for which players Ottawa could not draft?
Even the commissioner said that the list would not be available to the public.
Confidential.
And there would be consequences if it happened.
So right. I don't know why Jim Boker even said that Ricky Ray was protected. Whether he was just getting people off his back or whether he was actually protected. you know.
Really?
I think it was a no-brainer question.
Yeah.
The lists were private. Mark Cohen said that there will be consequences to any team who released their list or the list of anybody else's. In fact, the BC Lions did not know who Toronto protected.
Right.
Huh. What was the list that they provided earlier in December 9th? On December 9th, what list did they provide?
I'm
asking
Landry.
The question. December 9th, what lists were
list
provided?
Yeah, they were projections by all the media personalities in each town.
So those weren't by the team? They were only by the media?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Wow.
And they were just assumptions, different than what you and
mistake.
I can do.
No, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. I was under the preconceived notion that those protected lists were provided by, by the management of the teams that protected them.
No.
It was the media personnel.
Just media personnel that had their whatever they figured for their own team.
Their take.
Each person in BC and Toronto and whatever did whatever their take was going to be on it. And that's what those lists were.
But let me ask you guys, what's wrong with saying this is who we're protecting?
Oh, lots of things wrong.
Are we worried about hurting people's feelings?
That's right. I'll answer you that because even Coach Austin, he was answered that by one of the reporters in his interview. And he said that he's not going to even divulge to his players, even if they are protected, because it would cause a rift. You know, how come you protect me?
Yeah, I get
how
that.
Come you didn't protect
him? Oh, gosh,
him?
I get that.
That's why everything was probably kept hushed, too, right? You don't want to cause any...
I get that 100%. I understand it. Like I said, I'm here to learn. I'm not here to tell anybody what to think. But, you know, that's okay. All right.
That was my understanding. You know, you didn't want to cause any unnecessary turmoil.
Well, guys, exactly. Can I just interject here? Since it's only 10 minutes or 9 minutes left, what's the next stage going on, Frank? What is the next stage now in the draft that they can have there at a certain time?
John, the next stage is, now there is no draft considerations. Now it's just strictly free agents. The game turns around to who's a free agent, who I want to sign. So now whoever hasn't been signed by a team now, you know, now... Christopher, you're going to love this.
Free agent deadline, isn't it?
Christopher, you're going to love this, right? Because now it switches from the teams that didn't sign all their free agents to now everybody's up for grabs.
Yeah.
Well, now teams are going to start locking their free agents in, right? Because Ottawa claimed that they didn't want to pick from free agency pool. They wanted people to make their choices.
What's the deadline
for
that, guys? Does anybody know the deadline for that?
February, John.
February 15th.
Yep.
February 15th. Okay.
The same
all
as
right.
usual. We are now, gentlemen, to put it bluntly, Ottawa is now part of the CFL, and the rules as have existed in recent memory will continue to exist.
Yes. We really don't have much happening in our league right now until February 15th. It's
just
let's take a vacation. Let's go talk about lacrosse or something dumb like that.
And or Christopher, for the benefit of this program, because we need people to listen and pretend that people actually care about what's going on at this very moment, what we need to look at is people are making decisions as to who is available and how they fit into the program that we're putting together. Phyllis, go to bed. You keep talking about going to bed, and all you do is post. Why are you laughing? It's not funny. It's serious.
Because she's been Facebooking me, too, and saying she's going to bed.
Yeah, and she doesn't, right? Isn't that amazing?
No.
Anyway, what can you do?
Phyllis, make me your friend. Phyllis, make me your friend.
There you go. No, seriously, guys. Isn't that the case that now, you know, all this talk about who we should protect and who wasn't protected and who got picked up now takes it back seat to the fact that now there's all these players, now they know who they've got under contract and who they have control over, because really that's what it's about. The 43-man roster is what they're looking for. Who is going to be on their 43-man roster? The guys they hired today, they picked up today, are guys that will determine, you know, what makes up that 43-man roster. And now the next step is free agency, the players that are available to everyone. So who do you see Ottawa? What you know? Because we're probably ending up short on the show. What have I got here? Time left. I'm trying to see how much time I have left.
Five minutes.
Okay. So basically, now in the last 5 minutes of the program that we have, Ottawa hasn't fulfilled every. We talked about the DBs. They need to find some of those. Are they going to find them in free agency? Are they going to have to look outside of the CFL regular periphery? Christopher?
They have to look everywhere and anywhere they can. They got to fill a kicker position. They got to fill all. They have 24 people that are starters. They need 42. They're short a few. My math skills can't say that.
Michael, you were trying to jump in there. Please. Jump in.
I didn't mean to jump in at Christopher. I'm
no,
sorry.
No. You did.
No, bro.
I believe they're going to look inside the CFL, but what they're going to do with Ottawa being a young upcoming team, they're going to go younger. They're going to look outside the peripherals.
They're going to go for subtleties.
Yep, they're going to come down to the indoor leagues and get their defensive backs. The one
there
that's already
see, Kelly, you were right. All he ever does is push the indoor leagues. You're right, Kelly.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Mike is quarter right. They're going to do what every team does. They're going to have open camps. They're going to have free agent camps. They're going to send their scouts down to Florida. They're going to send their scouts down to the southern states like they do their boot camps. That they have for
all the different combines, John. You're
all
right.
All the different combines. Thanks, Frank. That's right. All the different combines. They're going to do what all the other CFL teams do. Now, is it going to be more attractive for these guys to go to Ottawa because of the circumstances of a new stadium?
As much
and
yes
fan
as much no, John. You're right. Because, let's be honest, guys. A new
can
team
I say what
is
it comes
a team
down
that
to,
you
Frank,
think
though?
You have more of a chance of making. Right?
Right, but you know what it comes down to, guys? It comes down to scouting, okay? If
yep.
their scouts are good, that's where you're going to find those players, plain and simple. In the CFL, it's about the scouting. I mean, Winnipeg did a great thing.
John, I disagree while I agree with you 1,000%.
Okay,
I think
that's
what
twice
you're trying
tonight,
to say, I'm
and
gonna,
twice
I'm,
you were proven wrong, but that's okay.
No. I'm gonna prove that you're right, and I'm going to prove that I'm right while I'm proving that you're right. At the end of the day, what you're saying is the scouts will determine the players that need to be added to the roster. The key is going to be whose signature you put on that contract. That's
uh-huh.
all I'm saying. It's the name of the contract that's going to matter. Everyone's going to have their scouts going. Everyone's going to have their decisions to make. And we're going to find out who signed the right guys to a contract. That's what we're going to find out.
That's where Campbell doesn't have a lot of tentacles, okay? That's where I heard that he doesn't have a lot of, seeds or roots out
you're
there.
Right.
When it comes to scouting. So this is the best thing he could have had
but
was
this
kind
learning,
of draft.
This is the learning curve that the organization – it's not as much about, Huey Campbell's kid, Campbell.
Right.
It's more about does he have the inner workings of an organization that can, through osmosis and through whatever, determine which players should be signed. And at the end of the day, gentlemen, that's what it's going to come down to, who you sign.
Will you guys be surprised if Ottawa finishes last in the league next year?
No, they're not.
I wouldn't be surprised, but they're not.
Well,
we only got 90 seconds left, so that means that either Montreal, Toronto, or Hamilton's going to finish below Ottawa.
No, he said in the
Montreal.
League. That's Edmonton
in the league.
And Winnipeg as well.
In the league. But the league doesn't matter. It's all about the beauty of the CFL is there's an East and West division. It doesn't matter how well you do outside the division. What really matters is how you do within the division.
Okay, well, within the division, I say Ottawa will come in last.
There you go.
And none of us would be surprised at that.
That's the point I was trying to make. But none of us would be surprised at that.
Right.
As long as they're not going to be in first. That's all.
Anyway, John, you guys all have a great night, and we'll talk to you Wednesday, hopefully.
Yeah,
God
everybody,
bless everyone.
Show.
Have
thanks,
a good
Frank.
Night.
Guys. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
Right. They have to be competitive. You guys are all welcome. Okay.
All
listen,
right.
You've been
thanks,
listening
Frank.
To Candid Frank Live here on – and now our new schedule now takes place on Wednesday. For the first time, 9 to 11, we will be having the National Lacrosse League as our center of focus. And for
yes,
those
sir.
Of you that are CFL fans that love the game of lacrosse, this is your opportunity to take part. But we haven't turned our back on the CFL because Mondays and Fridays, so that gives you plenty of time in between to appreciate what's going on in the CFL. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Frank Stinish. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank Live. Later.